Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Awkwards episode. I met Awkwards. It was weird. His girlfriend actually DM'd me, and I was already aware of who he was, so I was like down to do it regardless. So yeah, he's from Stockton. He's a battle rapper, and yeah, I've always enjoyed watching his battles, and he's actually, the main thing that impressed me about his episode is he played me a song that he did with Method Man, and it was really dope. So I hope you enjoy a very interesting episode.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome K Wynn's very own VJ 97.7 from 97.7 FM, battle rapper, and outside the box podcast's very own. Please welcome Awkwards.
Hey. That was a beautiful number
Thank
on the
you.
Piano.
I was
there.
A little nervous. I didn't know what I was going to play. Thanks for coming. You had a big day today. You had a big day last night, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's been a busy week.
You were just at a show called Drop the Mic?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Explain to the viewers what is that?
Well, basically, it's a celebrity battle rap TV show on TBS where they just, you know, it's hosted by Method Man and Haley Baldwin, and there's just a bunch of different, you know, we bring celebrities together and we have them rap battle. Mm-hmm. And me and a few of my friends, I've been able to write a few bars for the show.
That's great.
And coach a lot of the
celebrities. Y'all deserve
celebrities.
That because you guys have been doing it for years.
Man, it's been
years.
A long time, dude.
It's been
a long time.
Yeah.
And I don't ever get invited when they do the TV shit, too. So
that's great.
This is like the first time.
Like a ghostwriter, you're coaching them.
Yeah, I mean, officially, we're working on the celebrities with their delivery and stuff and trying to get them to nail the lines. I did get to write a few things for, like, James Corden and Nicole Richie, just on a fluke, but not officially a writer.
That's what's up.
But,
yeah
it's pretty.
That's great, dude. Hey, that's a great opportunity, too.
It's crazy, man.
That's exposure, too. You get the credit for doing that.
It's crazy just the way it all happened, man. Mm-hmm. I didn't expect it. It all came out of nowhere. Yeah, like I just got a call one day from the producer of the show, Jensen, and he was just
Jensen.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he was just like, you know, we're doing this battle rap TV show with celebrities, and Method Man personally requested that you be a part of the show. Do you want to come do this TV show? Yeah, yeah. I guess they.
I'm a big fan of. I'm a Wu fan.
I'm gonna tell you like this, bro. He's exactly what you would think he would be, but
really?
Even cooler than that.
No, I remember his first album, Takao.
Dude.
Getting the tape. That was a dark album, dude. The beats and everything.
I've met a lot of celebrities in my life, and I would say that he's probably the coolest one, like, by far. What's up, man?
Yeah. Rest in peace, old dirty bastard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I remember when Wu first dropped, my friend had the tape. It had a Protect Your Neck and then the Method Man song on the B side.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And then I put that in the... This is when tapes were around.
Yep.
But my homie had it, and we put it in there, and we were just blown away. We never heard nothing like that.
Yeah, it was big for me, too, man.
Yeah.
Like, my brother actually put me on to Wu-Tang, because he's, like, 6 years older than me.
92, 93, something like
and,
that.
And, you know, it was crazy for me, because I was heavily into martial arts movies, like, specifically Jackie Chan movies.
That's what's up, yeah.
And so hearing Wu-Tang is, like, I'm a big hip-hop head already.
Yeah.
But hearing somebody that raps about some martial arts movie shit, like, it just, like, that was it for me.
Yeah.
Like, it
and
was
then
perfect.
Their first album was just...
Yeah.
It just kind of blew everyone away.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is still fire today.
So, the 36 Chambers, yeah.
Easily.
That must be
easily.
What's the anniversary? Like, how long has it been out?
It's been a minute, dude.
Since 93.
And they got a new one coming out still, too.
Still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Shout out to all them.
Yeah, for sure.
Even RZA and Jizz. I mean, Jizz's Liquid Swords, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
That blew me away, too.
Or Iron Man is one of my favorite ever, like, Wu-Tang, like, you know, solo albums. You know, I mean, it was Raekwon a Ghost,
yeah,
pretty
but
much.
But Raekwon's first one was...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Built for Cuban Kings, yeah.
Man, so that's crazy. So what's Method Man like?
Dude, he's just like one of the most...
Is he really mellow?
Yeah, dude. He's one of the most selfless people I ever met. Dude, he ain't got to deal with no scumbag like me, bro. But he's out here doing things for me that, like... people I've known for like 15 years wouldn't do
that.
You know what
wow.
I mean, like, it just trips me out. Like, the first time I met him, like, he just brought like me and like five friends, like VIP. What's up, man?
Yeah, it happens all the time. Sorry.
No, I love
yeah
it.
Yeah, yeah.
He just got me like VIP with a bunch of my friends to one of his concerts, and we just hanging out, and like that would happen a bunch of times, and we would just always kick it when he comes to Cali. You know, we met on Twitter basically because he said he was a fan of my rap battles and shit for like a long time.
I am too.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate you, man.
I want to get into that. Some
of the definitely,
monumental
man.
Ones, yeah.
Definitely, man. Yeah. And basically, you know, we just kicked it. And, you know, after that, just like this year, you know, we did a song this year. So
wow.
we're going to be doing a music video that's
wow.
coming out real soon.
That's
like,
big, man. Good
dude,
for you.
I'm
that's
fucking
big.
I'm fucking excited about
Ooh,
that, man. And then
Method
the whole TV
man.
Show thing, like a couple of years ago, that got me on there. So
let's can we go back throughout
Absolutely.
Your history? Like,
yeah,
so you're
you
from Stockton?
Yes, sir.
How did you get into, what was it like growing up in Stockton, firstly?
It's a very...
Because I mentioned, I went there a couple times for the state wrestling tournament held in Stockton.
Yeah, yeah. It's
University of the Pacific.
It's a very unique place, man. Most people from California, when they ask me where I'm from and I'm like, Stockton, they're like, oh, are you okay? Is everything all right
it's
with
rough,
you, man? Like,
it's,
it's a little crazy, man. The only other place in America that I've been to that... I could really like compare it to is like if Detroit had like only 400,000 people and no snow, it would damn near be Stockton.
Dude, for those of you who've never been to Detroit, it looks like a war torn.
We even got an 8 Mile and everything. Like,
wow.
I'm not even joking.
Like abandoned and
yeah, there's shit like that.
Like there's arson.
Not even just like houses, but like businesses
just
like
run down.
Like right by my house is a big grocery store that everybody knew their whole life living in Stockton, and that shit's just boarded up. You know what I mean? Like all types of crazy stuff, dude. Like, you know, I came from a very privileged and good upbringing and nice life. I lived in a nice neighborhood, but like. No matter where you live in Stockton, like if you try to like, you know, interact with the world, like you're going to go to school one day, you're going to go to the mall, you're going to go to an event, wherever you go as a kid, you're going to run into some Stockton shit. So it's
like
wherever you're from,
yeah.
It doesn't matter if you live in a nice neighborhood in Stockton, you still get robbed out there too.
Wow.
They don't care. It doesn't matter.
So describe what is Stockton-ish. Like, what,
like
just give a couple examples of that.
Oh God, dude. You know, they
like gangs, right?
Yeah, gangs. I've seen, you know, people like jump a pregnant woman, you know what I mean?
What?
Just like grimy, terrible, terrible things, man.
That's
yeah, people
dude, why would you, do
you know,
that?
It's
that's,
horrible,
that's
dude.
Horrible.
It's horrible. Like men, I'm talking grown men
doing that?
Beating up a pregnant woman. Like I've seen it.
That's horrible.
Not
yeah.
not like I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be letting that shit happen.
Yeah,
trust me.
Of course
but
not.
I'm saying, like, I've seen footage of shit. Like, there's some crazy things that go down, man.
So when did you start, like, in middle school, or like when did you start getting exposed to this? Like, just going to the mall.
I mean, my whole life. I mean, anytime you go anywhere in public, you know, when you leave your house, you know, I mean, even that, you know, the nice neighborhood could be a block away from a grimy ass neighborhood
it's
too.
Like
so it's like. You're going to run into it no matter what walk of life you come from. If you live in Stockton, it doesn't matter. There's no escaping it.
Wow,
you know what I mean?
So you went to high school out there too?
Yeah, yeah. You know, all my life, all school. Yeah.
How'd you get into music and then into battling and all that?
You know, I've always just been into hip hop my whole life. You know what I mean? My brother put me on when I was a kid to like MC Hammer and shit like that. From the,
I remember
you know,
those
when
days.
I was young. You
I went
know
to
what
the
mean?
Concert.
See?
They, MC
and it
Hammer
just went
Troop.
From
remember
there.
Troop?
Yes. I fucking
you remember
I
Troop?
Fucks with that.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I
fucks with that.
Yeah, and that was Troop was an R&B group. Like they were kind of like New Edition, you know. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And they had like fades with like the blonde, and like the blonde, you know.
Yeah, man.
Highlights, or whatever.
You having some problems, man? You falling over?
So you got this? You have an older brother?
Yeah, yeah. He's 6 years older than me.
And he got you into like what was he into Run DMC or?
Yeah, he was heavily into Run DMC, like the Beastie Boys, LL Cool J. That's all that kind of stuff at that time. You know what I mean? And you know, he's 6 years older than me, so I was just a little fucking kid, you know what I mean, at that time. But I've always been into it. I think around, you know, I've always been critical of lyrics. So, you know, that kind of spawned me probably rapping, I would say, like around when I was 17 in high school.
So
that's when I started rapping. I would hear people and like...
Yeah, who are some of your favorites back then where you're like, I want to be like him?
I mean, a lot of my favorites back then are still my favorites now, man. Like Ice Cube is my favorite rapper of all time, forever. Yeah. I don't think anyone's
better
than him.
He's still performing, dude.
Yeah, he's still the best.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I love Jay-Z. At that time, he wasn't quite huge just yet. You know, Big Daddy Kane, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, those are like Nas. Some of my major... Yeah, Nas is cool, man. I fucks with that.
Do you remember Master Ace?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Slaughterhouse.
AKA
no one brings that.
Eminem got his style from.
Yeah. Well, no one brings him up because that was one of my favorite albums growing up. Slaughterhouse.
He's great. Yeah. No, I love that shit too. I love that shit too. I almost did a song with him one time.
Really?
Yeah.
That dude is ill.
Yeah,
his style,
amazing.
The offbeat on
I'm serious. If you listen to any Eminem music from 1997 or before and play it back with a Master Ace song, you're going to find some similarities,
dude,
man.
And that was on Delicious Vinyl, too.
Yeah, I mean, even when Eminem won some award, like one of the first things, you know that award show where he like mentioned all the people that inspire him or whatever when he did his acceptance speech.
I don't remember that, but what
did
he say?
He did it, the first person out of his mouth, Master Ace.
So the kids, let's just let the kids, viewers know. Look up Master Ace, Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. Dude,
and then,
got serious bars, man. Serious
so
bars.
So M-A-S-T-A-A-C-E.
Slaughterhouse before
Slaughterhouse,
the Slaughterhouse.
Great album.
Yeah.
So, like, who are some of the other... I love talking about this stuff, so...
Yeah, I mean, I listen to so much, dude. Like, when I was a kid, you know, it started out there, and then mainly a lot of time growing up further, it would be, like, a lot of Bay Area stuff, because that's right, you know, hour away from us. You know what I mean?
Man?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's the Bay, you know what I mean?
We listen to a bunch of Bay Area stuff, like E-40 and Too Short kind of stuff, with, like, kind of some of the first records that I ever, like, bought myself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Big Dell. Like you mentioned Ice Cube.
Yeah.
I'm a Big Dell fan.
You know, it's Ice Cube's cousin.
Yeah. I'm a big guy.
I just talked to Dell for the first time like a couple years ago.
Really?
We were going to do this Twitch thing a while back, but he's in video games, working out. Yeah, he is. Me too.
Do you remember? I'm going to just throw you a curveball. I lived in Arizona and it was like me and my homie Mestizo, a couple other cats, we went to because there's a bunch of rap shows that, you know, we go to all of them, Souls of Mischief, Farsight, but it was when Living Legends, Hieroglyphics, and then there's another group that opened up at the very beginning. Have you heard of the Earthlings?
Yeah, Topper.
So, that's my homies, man. They performed, dude.
Yeah.
And I don't care. I love those other dudes, but those guys caught my...
Man, I thought you was going to say something I didn't know, but
No, but it was like Safari Raw. Yeah,
with Topper and Boak.
Yeah,
that's the homies.
So
Boak lives out here, matter of fact.
So the one dude that caught, who's the big guy that looks like a cowboy, like the white guy with the...
Probably Topper.
Topper.
Probably Topper.
He came out with the cowboy hat. And
that
he
sounds
came
like
down,
some Topper shit.
He came out with the cowboy hat, and they came out with the Empire Strikes, like the Star Wars. Dun, dun, da, dun. And I'm like, who are these guys?
That sounds like some Topper dude. He would show up in a bathrobe.
They killed it, bro. Their show was phenomenal, and I'm like, who the hell are these guys?
Oh, yeah.
So are they still around doing their...
I don't know that they're doing stuff together per se, but I know they're still making music. I know Topper's out here still doing rap battles and fucking killing it.
He's raw.
And Topper is a world-renowned graffiti artist too.
That's
like,
right.
Didn't he go with Top Ramen? Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's one black dude. There's a black guy and two white guys, right?
Yeah, I don't remember. I know. Well, Boak's white too.
The other guy, Safari Raw.
Yeah.
But I just had to throw that out there.
That's the homies, man. Okay. So, I've known them guys for a long time.
How'd you meet those guys?
You know, when I first started battling, like in fucking like 99 or something.
You did it back then?
Yeah, but when I first started going to like organized battle rap events, like later on, like 2000, 2001, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Topper was in one of the first rap tournament that I ever entered in my life. This was when it was freestyle over beats and not, so you know, the way it is now.
He had a freestyle.
But yeah, it was freestyle. Yeah. And he had entered also in the same tournament, my very first tournament. I sucked because it was my first time. Yeah. I lost in the first round. I was trash. I lost to someone who was slightly less trash than me. Mm-hmm. So I just lost by default.
Wow.
But Topper did pretty well in the tournament. At that time, you know, he's older, a little older than me, a little before me. So he had already been kind of known in the scene for battles and shit.
So when did you get to that point to, because you did Scribble Jam, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I did so, like four of them.
Yeah, so when did you start doing that? Or explain to the viewers what that was. A lot of them don't know.
Scribble Jam was a really big music festival that happened in Cincinnati, Ohio every year for like 10, 15 years, I want to say. Since 97, like the very first one, Eminem was there and was rap battling. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen Eminem battle before, you probably saw a video from Scribble Jam. You know, it was and the rap battle, it has a rap battle, a b-boy battle, a DJ battle, and several like performances, and like 5,000-10,000 people would show up to this thing, and it was crazy. But the rap battle suddenly became the most popular part of the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And but it was invite only. You had to be somebody who was winning rap battles around the country or whatever for them to invite you. And so, like I said, my first battle that I did, I was trash and I lost. I did one more in Sacramento, was trash, and I lost in the first round. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I don't know, something just clicked where I just started winning every single thing in California, and nobody could fuck with me at the time. And that's when, like, Scribble Jam, and there was another one, Rock Steady in New York. Wow. It was kind of the same kind of thing. They all reached out and invited me.
With the B-Boy crew?
Rocksteady crew, yeah. But they had a rap battle, and at the time, that was the biggest rap battle in New York at the time.
Damn. So what year was this?
This was 2001, I want to say.
Oh my God.
So I went out there and beat everybody in New York, and I won Rocksteady, and then we went
That's
out.
That's a big deal, dude.
Dude, it was crazy. That was the thing.
Shout out to that.
Hey, thank you,
That's
man.
A big deal.
Thank you, man.
Because Rocksteady, explain to them what Rocksteady crew is.
Well, Rocksteady crew is like some of like the most original
B-boys.
OG breakdancers like in hip-hop culture, like period. If
they're
you
from
have
the
any,
70s.
Yeah,
from the
if
70s?
You got real interest in the history of hip-hop, you got to know these people. And
Crazy Legs
and all them cats.
That.
Yeah, you got to know that stuff, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had their rap battle, and then I went to Scribble Jam a week later for my first time because they invited me to that too, and I fucking lost in the first round of Scribble Jam. But it must have been
nerve wracking, though, right?
Dude, it's terrifying.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see like the top guy that you've been seeing kill it across the country. He'll walk on the Scribble Jam stage and get booed in 5 seconds, and you're like, oh shit.
Oh wow.
This is gonna be serious.
So what are some of those things you have to deal with, like dealing with that kind of crowd?
You know, Scribble Jam could have been a very unpredictable crowd, man. Sometimes, you know, they'll hate on you every single bar, and then you'll have one good one, and then they're back.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So it's just like, it's very back and forth. You got to be on point. You got to deal with sometimes booing. You know, sometimes there'll be a night where everybody gets booed. You know what I mean? Like one time in 2003, the whole fucking roster got booed. Everybody who battled got booed. Even Rhymefest, the guy who fucking wrote Jesus Walks for Kanye West, got booed. Like,
everybody
got booed.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
So you've been doing it for a long time.
Long time, man. I've got to see it evolve into this whole crazy thing that it is now.
So explain what happened to this from freestyling over beats to the acapella format and all that.
Yeah, I think, you know, the Smack DVD thing and Fight Club was happening was where in New York, it was kind of a New York thing where they were just straight writing verses instead of freestyling, and there was no beat. And it kind of evolved from that, and kind of the freestyle on beat shit started kind of getting stale. Like Scribble Jam, like, stopped. You know what I mean? There was kind of a dry spell.
Well, why did it stop?
I don't know. I think it was some kind of money issue. I don't know for sure.
Yeah,
but the last one, like 2008 was the last one. It was pretty depressing. It looked weird. It was strange. Not a lot of people came, and it's always in the summer when it's always hot.
Yeah.
This one, they did it in like October, and it was cold and weird, dude.
Yeah,
it was
just
like, you could feel it in the air, like, yo, this shit's about to be over.
Yeah, all right, right.
You know?
Were you there around the days when rest in peace, Idea, but
Yeah.
Because he like really took that.
Yeah, nah, he was killing it. He won a Scribble Jam as well.
Yeah.
He won a Rocksteady too, I think.
Or
he got a second place, I think. Immortal Technique might have beat him, actually.
Yeah,
in the finals,
wow.
I
think. Yeah.
Something like that. Some old school nerdy battle rap shit.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I remember seeing him for the first time out here, actually. It was Idea and Abilities.
Yeah, it probably came to the Bloat or something.
No, it wasn't the Bloat. It was at Spaceland.
Okay.
In Silver Lake. And yeah, me and my homie were there just, you know,
yeah,
we wanted to go to a rap show.
I know he loves the Bloat for
and
sure.
He, and I'm like, I can't lie. I judged him by his looks. I'm like, is this guy gonna do like?
Yeah, I think everybody did. I think everybody did.
So I'm like,
until he opened his mouth.
Rock group. I'm like, what's this guy doing? And let me tell you, he within the first minute, I'm like, holy.
Oh yeah,
smokes! This guy, he's rapping so fast.
He had a good impact with his music, and he's also definitely a highly influential character in early battle rap, easily.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
For sure. Everybody
and then
had
I was
some
impressed by Slug, too.
Oh, yeah. Slug
I didn't
is
know who he
fucking,
was. I'm like, who are these guys? They're
Slug
from
is the fucking man, dude. Yeah. Slug is the man.
Speaking of him, didn't you interview him?
Yeah, had him on a podcast,
on
man. And I
what
know,
was that like?
Man, Slug is
I'm a fan of that
Slug
atmosphere
is the,
and all
Slug
that.
Slug is one of the best fucking people, dude. He's always held me down forever, man. It's just like. You know, we did the podcast and his tour bus and shit, and then we went into his show. He didn't even tell me. Well, during his show, he called me on stage to freestyle out of nowhere. I didn't even know that he was going
to
do that. I was just chilling, and he called me. He was like, "Awkward, if you're still in the building, get up here." And I just ran up there, and we fucking ripped it.
At his show?
Yeah, yeah, we ripped it. Sold out show. It was dope, man.
Wow.
Yeah, it was real fun, man.
Have you? Because I'm a fan of their label, Rhymesayers.
Yeah,
Have you tried to maybe put an album out through them?
You know, I'm kind of a do-it-myself kind of guy, you know what I mean? But I fucking love Rhymesayers and what they do, you know what I mean? A lot of the
they're
artists
strong, huh?
are friends of mine, you know what I mean? Yeah, they're killing it, always killing it, dude. Atmosphere is always going to be killing it. Mm-hmm. They got a new album that just came out, matter of fact.
These guys don't know what we're talking about. This is 30 minutes of them just blank stares like...
But then watch, you're going to go on YouTube and watch one rap battle, and it's going
to
be over.
If you turn the cameras around, they're literally like... You know what? I don't realize this.
We're gonna turn him into a battle fan, huh?
People outside of like the culture or stuff, they're like, it's like Martian
like,
talk.
What is this? What is this?
What the hell are
you're gonna watch
about?
One rap battle and you're gonna fall in the rabbit hole, and I already feel sorry for
definitely
you.
Definitely look up his battle. They're very.
What's the first one they
should watch? Yeah, what's the first one? Yeah, man, you got a lot of good ones, man.
I guess I would say me versus Arsenal or me versus T-Rex would probably be.
Is that when you're talking about his ear?
Yeah, that's when I'm talking about his ear.
Yeah. I rewinded that part several times. You're like, what's that on the side of your face?
Good so old Randy.
So explain. Like when I watch it, it's like UFC. It's so entertaining to me. You
yeah,
know?
It is, dude. It's like
I
a
respect
soap
what you guys
opera in
do.
A way.
How do you keep your composure, man?
The money. you know, I don't want to fuck up the check, but also, you know, I don't know, man. People don't really cross the line with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I make it very known, dude, that you got to give me my space.
Yeah,
because you know
when I watch you, I feel like you're this close to getting into physical.
Sometimes.
No, like you're about to fight.
There's been a couple of times, man.
Yeah. So how do you lower the water temperature when it gets to the point where they're...
You know, I don't know. I kind of just thrive in those kind of situations, man. Like where there's pressure and anger and people that don't like each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at my best sometimes. You know?
Are there behind the scenes, like, what's it like afterwards? Are you guys like high-fiving?
Most of the time, cool. Most of the time,
so
super cool.
So that's just
cool.
For the camera? Like, because I've always wondered that because I'm
watching
as a fan.
Most of the time, super cool. But like, there are instances when you battle somebody you don't like. I'm going to say there's definitely people that I battled that I did not shake their hand after it was over. You know what I mean?
But no fighting.
No.
Yeah. Because they act like, because they have a lot of them gun bars. And...
Yeah.
So is that
a lot,
real?
A lot of them are teddy bears, man. Teddy bears, bro. It's like your dog that came up here. It's just sweet. Just come and lay on you. You know what I mean? Like,
so they're just, it's an act.
Yeah, most of the time.
I've always wondered that because they're very convincing when they say
certain
things.
Yeah, and it's the same with their social media. You know, they talk shit and then you see them in person and they love you. You know what I mean? They're like, I just got a tweet like that to you. Like, why? Just be real, man.
As far as the psychology, like what, is it like tense before you...
Oh, well, very tense.
Yeah.
Dude, I would say that it's very tense from the moment you sign the fucking contract. It's tense.
Once you start feeling the nerves?
Instantly.
So once you, obviously, because it's like I'm outside just looking into, once you get the contract, do you start preparing that night?
Oh, yeah, man. Instantly, because you get that feeling of a deadline. You know what I mean?
Like a work
and it's
deadline.
Not just like a deadline, like, if I don't turn this in, I'll be in trouble. It's like, no, if I don't get this right, I'm going to look like a fucking idiot and go viral for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean?
So these are the things going on in your head.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? This guy is literally standing in front of me trying to ruin me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so are you doing research that night?
You know, I don't really do research, even though a lot of my stuff is very personal.
Yeah.
But
how do you find out your information?
I've just been in the battle scene for so much longer than mostly everybody that does it.
Yeah.
That I just know this shit. Like, I don't have to look up things. You know what I mean? I just know, oh, I'm battling this guy. He's the guy that does such and such, such and such. You know what I mean? I just know already. Yeah. You know?
What was the most monumental battles thus far in your career?
For me,
you mentioned Arsenal.
Yeah, I would say the Arsenal one was the big one that changed my life in a big way. Yeah, those, because we had like three really big ones back to back where I just like beat the shit out of like the three best people.
Yeah.
So those ones were really impactful on my life. But even before that, like I would say probably the first battle I did that made it to World Star changed my life instantly.
Which one was that?
Jay's Juice. It was like my first grind time battle ever. Oh. It was the transition between the freestyle stuff to the written stuff. So I actually hadn't battled in 4 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I quit battling during the freestyle shit. And when I came back, it was a whole other sport.
So I had
to learn this shit too coming back. And everybody is talking their shit like, oh, he hasn't battled in 4 years. He doesn't even know how to do this new shit that we do. You know what I mean? So yeah. There's that pressure too.
Did you study it for a minute?
I mean, I was just always in the scene, even though I wasn't battling. I was still around and watching it, you know, I was still a fan, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. So I knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And when I came back for that very first time, just made such a huge impact, and it went on World Star. And like literally that day, I could go to the mall and like be recognized by somebody.
Wow,
or,
dude,
you know, they'll let me in the club for free in Stockton because they saw me battle Jay's Juice or whatever. And then the Arsenal thing happened, and it was just like it was a wrap.
Wow. Yeah. So the guys on top of the game in that world, do they make a living off it?
They can if you play your cards right. You know, there's some people that get big paydays, but they only battle like once a year or something like that. It's really like the tool to get your name out there. And then after that, it's up to you what you do with it.
Mm-hmm,
some people are huge names, bigger names than me, but they don't know how to do that shit. So they're still kind of losers. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But there are some people, you know, that know how to market themselves and you know, monetize certain things and blah, 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 and branch out into other areas into the world.
Right.
And that's not just battle rap, you know?
Like, I notice a lot of your videos even have over 1 million hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So do you get, do you get a part of that monetization?
Not on something that's on like a league channel.
Oh,
you know,
that sucks.
A lot of the time they'll pay me.
Okay,
straight
that's
up,
cool.
You know what
yeah.
I mean?
And then when did you make your transition from battling to like doing, because you've collabed with Mr. Fab and Coogee Rap and all these monumental rap. Like, when did you start doing that stuff?
You know, I was kind of always doing it at the same time. You know, like even during like the freestyle days, like when we were battling that way, I was still doing songs with Tech N9ne and like going on tour in Australia and stuff like that. Like I was kind of always just doing that. And but when the big battles happened, it gave me just even more opportunities all types of stuff. I'm one of those guys that just I can't stay in the same place because I just have all these different interests. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
now it's just super crazy with the fucking radio thing.
You have a podcast.
Yeah, the podcast, the radio, the TV show,
you're
the
doing
fucking
a lot,
like
dude.
It's just a lot of different things. Things,
let's
man.
Talk about your podcast. So it's called Outside the Box, the the Box podcast.
Yes, sir.
When did you start? How did that formulate?
Man, you know, I just decided one day that, you know, it just seemed like something that would be fun. I was always into kind of like radio and stuff like that. And, you know, I just figured because I know so many people that we'd be able to get cool guests.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's worked out thus far.
Dude, you got ideas. Dude, you got ideas, brother.
We got
bro.
Nate. We got Nate, man.
Nate
we got
Diaz,
Nate.
Brother. Shout out to the Diaz
brothers.
That's
the one right there. That's
Woo!
Our. That was
Look
our,
at that. That's him right there, dude.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
A big fan.
I'm going to have to let him
oh,
know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was like, you know. That was our monumental podcast. We haven't done anything that's really topped that yet, and podcast has been a little slow this year.
When I saw him and you, I was like, "What the hell?
Man,
this is crazy!
It's crazy, dude."
When
it's
he
crazy.
Beat Connor, I could have woken up the
Man.
Whole block. I screamed.
I
was at
did.
My neighbors, my friends, and my neighbors up front. And I thought he was losing. And when he turned it around, I went, ah! Yeah, I was screaming.
Yo, I don't watch sports at all.
I was losing
so
my mind.
So, like, I've never had, like, a real, like, sports freak out moment like mm-hmm. that when my team wins or whatever. So, like, that was like that for me. Like,
you saw, you were there?
I wasn't there,
but you saw it.
We were watching, you know, we're in Stockton watching it with a house full of people. And we all just went fucking berserk. You know, because prior to that, because I always
hard.
Stick up for him.
him. So yeah. Prior to that, everybody on the internet, all the Battle fans, oh, you fucking loser. Connor's going to kill him. Your boy ain't shit. Da, 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 da. I just got so much shit talk, you know? And then when it happened, I just remember being on Twitter like, I'm welcoming all apologies right now.
Well,
like,
the Diaz brothers are so special, man.
They are.
I really think you know what? To be honest with you, let's go on. Let's go to the UFC real quick.
Okay.
In a way, Dana White and those cats. I'm not saying Joe, but Dana, they hold those guys back.
They do, man.
Because they know, similar to Khabib,
it happens a lot with Stockton people.
They hold them back because they know how raw they are.
We're raw, and we have the talent to beat the best in the world.
Those
but
dudes
we may
are
not be. Yeah, we may not be like that poster boy or like that safe white boy Conor McGregor look. You know what I mean? Like, so sometimes it doesn't always pan out like that. But we got the talent to fucking do it.
Those guys, they're the best. They don't get tired. They don't get tired. And I was telling you before the cameras were running, I discovered the Diaz brothers, Nick fighting Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
And that's when I was a fan right away.
Serious
I'm like,
business.
This guy's special.
I mean, you're really fucked if you fight him. You can't stand up with them. Mm-hmm. You can't
you
gas
them
out.
Down.
You can't even really do
the
that.
The only way
because they
take
got
him down.
Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Like, you're like, you're really fucked either way. It's like, pick which way you want to die. You know?
So did you see that UFC 229, the latest one?
I sure did. I saw the main parts
Habib
of it.
Verse. So what'd you think about Habib and Conor?
Hey, I've never seen Conor get beat up like that.
He got control.
He got beat
he got
up.
Control,
like, he didn't even, because all the people talking that he's going to knock him out shit, like, he didn't even get a chance to. And everyone's talking about how much better his hands are, but Khabib was putting hands on him.
Yeah.
Like, he was beating it with the stand-up, too.
And I've been researching. He was cheating.
Who was?
Conor.
Oh, yeah, with the foot
he was
on the fucking thing.
No, he was grabbing his gloves.
Yep, yep. He grabbed his shorts,
he did
too.
An illegal knee when Khabib was on top.
He
went like that knee. Yeah, that was an illegal knee.
Yep.
Herb Dean should have.
Nobody said anything.
No one said
they?
Anything.
They never do.
So, I mean.
They never do.
They're, and then they're.
Never.
And no one's talking about how Conor threw a goddamn dolly through the bus and almost injured four fighters.
Funny coincidence, isn't
and
it?
And Khabib is getting. They held his purse. And he might get banned from not, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and they just made it into a whole race thing. Like, you're fucking just mistreating Muslims, really, is
true,
what
though.
It is, man.
That's
it's
not
like,
true.
What the fuck?
You
like,
know, the reality
how y'all
is,
talking shit about his religion
is,
and all this, you know?
Conor is their cash cow.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
You know, Dana wants Conor to win, by all means. And when Conor got... You know what I realized? They didn't even give Khabib props for actually beating him.
They wouldn't even give him
the
belt and let him walk out.
They focused on the post antics after. You notice that, George?
They wouldn't even put his belt on him and let him walk out the building.
Dana goes, if I put this
because he's fragile, you know, Conor fans.
So are you...
They're just mistreating him to me. And I'm not even a big fan of him because I'm a Diaz fan and they got beef too. But they're clearly mistreating him for sure,
Well, so what do you think? Who do you think... Khabib should fight
Nate. They got beef. Like, they'll be dumb not to sell that fight.
They got beef.
Yeah, they rumbled in Las Vegas. Their whole crews was fighting each other in the middle of Vegas. Yeah. They're like it started inside the building, and then there's video. Look that shit up on YouTube.
Yeah, I will,
they're all in the fucking like in the middle of a fucking casino hotel, like all scrapping, and then it comes out to the parking lot and all this shit, dude. Like. They are not friends. Like,
what, the Diaz brothers
and Khabib's whole camp.
Yeah.
They would be dumb to not try. If you think throwing the whole bus thing was a selling point, Dana, you might want to try this one, too. Like,
yeah. I would love to see, you know, I would love to see that.
Yeah, me too.
You know,
but I watched Nate versus anybody. It sucks the Poirier thing.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Out.
I thought they were set
he got
to
injured.
Fight. Who?
Poirier got injured during training, so he had to pull out. And the UFC is not interested in giving him another opponent for, 230?
What about Conor versus Nate 3?
Oh, yeah, of course. That's the other logical step, for sure. Because
the Diaz brothers have names. They have a fan base just on their own.
Absolutely.
So they will definitely, don't you guys agree?
Absolutely.
They could definitely sell that. These guys are zoning out. Please tune back in. I know this is an off day for recording. Tune back in with us. But... they should definitely really resolve that.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
What's it like meeting a Diaz brother, man? Because
dude, they're so fucking cool, man.
Were you scared at all? I'm like saying
Nah. I wasn't scared, man. Because they're just hella cool. They're hella nice to their fans, and you know everybody looks at them like they're fucking badasses, and they are. Mm. But like they're really nice to people. You know what I mean? Like they're teaching jujitsu to little kids and stuff. Like they're great with those kids.
Dude, they're
you
good,
know what I mean?
Dudes. People don't really, they want to vilify. They want to make them as villains. But what people don't realize, when Nate or Nick win, they help their opponent. Remember Gomi fight?
They always pick them up, make sure they're good.
The Takanari Gomi fight,
they
knocked him out, and then you could see, he picks him up. He goes, come on, man,
like
you're a legend.
You good?
Yeah. So you don't see Conor or Khabib doing that.
As much shit as they talk, they are a great sportsman. They're great sportsmen. As good as badass as they are, they're great sportsmen.
How come they don't talk about that? I mean, that's like
they don't. That don't sell tickets.
That
apparently
don't sell tickets, but that's like they're doing the right thing.
They are.
Yeah.
They
What's
are
so funny, babe?
They're entertaining, man.
Huh? Don't sleep on the Diaz brothers, okay?
Hey.
Yeah. So how long was that interview? Like, what were you guys talking about?
Oh, man, we just talked about all types of different stuff in his life, man. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously the stuff that people want to know, because at the time, you know, the Conor fight was real fresh, so we talked about that. But, you know, I got him off topic a lot of things with, like, music and, like, workout routines and, like,
what kind of music
diet
is he
and stuff. Dude, he likes everything. Rock, classic rock, hip-hop.
I know he likes Tupac.
He loves Tupac. Yeah. But he loves all that shit, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He, like, you know,
he likes rock and stuff,
he went to a Tom Petty concert before he passed.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Petty?
Like he likes all that shit.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got
How'd you link up with them?
You know, just being around Stockton, like we have a lot of mutual friends, like a lot, you know. And damn near everyone in Stockton will be like, "Oh, Nate Diaz, my cousin." You know what I mean? Like everybody's like that and fucking. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know Nate Diaz. Everybody fucking says that in Stockton. Mm-hmm.
They're
you know
like
what I mean?
Royalty there, huh?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
they are. They are. But yeah, like. You know, I just reached out to one of my homies. You know, basically how it worked was through K-Win, the radio show that I have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to get to that, too. Yep, yeah, yeah.
Basically, like, you know, it's a radio station in Stockton. It covers, you know, a lot of other cities, but it's in Stockton. Mm-hmm. It's what everybody in Stockton grew up listening to. And all the time that the station has existed, Nate Diaz has never been on K-Win. So when I first got hired over there, I was like, hey, you guys ever had the Diaz brothers up here? Yeah. And they're like, we never have. So I just made a call to one of my friends. We had them there the next week, and that was that.
How'd you get involved with K-Win 97.7?
You know, my whole career, I've always had great relationships with just people that work there. And I think, you know, they kind of had their eye on me a little bit when we started doing the podcast.
Yeah, it must be fun, huh? VJ in there.
Oh, it's so fun.
You can play
dude.
Whatever you want.
I don't have as much control over the music, but we get to talk a lot of shit.
Right.
And I enjoy that.
So how could the viewers tune in? How do they tune into
this? Well, if you're, you know, obviously a lot of you guys aren't in the Stockton area, you can easily just go to KWIN.com and at any time click listen now. And
oh, it's not wind, it's WIN, K-Win.
Yeah, K-Win, yeah.
Okay.
And then just any time, you know, it'll just, right when you click listen, it'll just go to whatever's playing right now on the station. I'm on Saturday nights from 8 to midnight, and then I do some late night stuff during the week, like Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
Wow. So you're doing the radio show.
Yeah, doing a lot of radio.
And the podcast.
And the podcast.
And you're coming down here doing
doing
this
the TV
stuff.
Show.
How do you manage to keep all these things together?
I don't know, man. I don't think I do.
Yeah, because that's a lot. That's like a lot on your plate.
I try. Yo, I was really stressed out before I came like to LA this week.
Why?
And because just so many things were happening. And then like a couple of things ended up getting canceled and kind of like took a lot off me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I was like, yeah, it sucks that we're not doing these things, but like, whew, I can take a breath, you know? But
what's your most... What's the most enjoyable for you out of all the things that you've been doing?
You know, I love making music.
That's why
I love working
on
the TV show.
Are you working
on
an album right now?
Yeah, we're working on an album right now.
Well, let's talk about that. So,
Well, I got an album with my boy Collage that's pretty much done that we've been working on for like 5 years. And
that
I'm working
long?
Yeah.
Damn.
And I'm working on some solo stuff too that we just started more recently. I just did a song with Method Man. That's like the first song we did for the album.
That?
We haven't put it out yet. We're shooting the music video probably in the next few months, and we're going to drop that thing immediately. So,
wow, dude, that's amazing.
But yeah, I'm working on a solo album with some producers out of Stockton. They're called Hallway Productions. Mm-hmm. They're the guys that play all the instruments I was telling you about. you know, they're Grammy nominated producers. They've done tons of records for Ice Cube and E-40 and like all stuff like that. Yeah. So they're going to be pretty much doing my whole album.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
So if cats want to hear like your whole catalog, how do they?
Yeah, I mean, you could go to awkwards.com, OKWERDZ.com, the Bandcamp, awkwards.bandcamp.com.
I like Bandcamp.
Yeah,
man.
Me too. Yeah, they're great. They're fair. They are fair. Way better than iTunes. Oh, but we're on iTunes too, and Spotify and all that type of stuff. We just dropped Fresh Coast Non-Perishables in December. It got number two on Bandcamp and it did really well. It's basically what it is, a compilation that we've been doing over the years with all the West Coast battle rappers that make music. So we put that out for the fans. I got like five songs on there. I got a song with Mac Wall on there. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's cool. Yeah.
You can get all that on the Bandcamp or Spotify and what have you.
That's what's up, man. So let me see. So we talked about your collaborations and everything. Is there stuff that we missed, man? Because I think I covered everything. What's the I asked for the most memorable battles. Like what are you looking forward to as far as the future, as far as like what more collaborations you want to do and like stuff, people you want to work with?
I really want to get the podcast more popping. It was real slow this year. We had a lot of scheduling conflicts, man. It's tough, as you know. I'm sure shit is tough to put together sometimes. We're trying to get Nick Diaz on the show. Tom Arnold just agreed to do it. But he agreed earlier in the year. It's just, you know,
from Roseanne
yeah,
and Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold's gonna do it.
How'd you get a hold of Tom Arnold?
Twitter has been responsible for like a lot of my podcast.
That's like, I don't got a Twitter.
You
got
to get a Twitter, bro. You got to fuck with Twitter. Twitter's powerful, man.
Damn, man.
I got so many guests just off Twitter. I literally just tweeted Tom Arnold like, hey, we'd love to have you on the podcast. And he responded back and was just like, oh, I just saw Nate Diaz was on there. So he was already like familiar somehow. I was like, oh, shit. Well, you need to get on the show, man.
God dang, I'm messing up, man.
Twitter is crazy, it's powerful, bro. Twitter is very powerful.
Now, how is Twitter different than all these other social media platforms?
I feel like it's way easier to like access somebody. You know what I mean?
It's directly.
Yeah, like Instagram, like, if you got 100,000 followers or some shit on Instagram and someone sends you a DM, you ain't getting that shit, bro. You ain't getting that shit. It's going to be so hard to see the random message. You know, it's hard. I feel like it's hard to get at a famous person on Instagram if your shit isn't like regular. But on Twitter, you can like, it's like, I just hit you. And especially if you got like the fucking the blue check and all that, like I think anybody like gets a notification that someone contacted you. So it's like, no matter who it is, they'll fucking see you.
Boom.
So that's been a big help on for me. It's Twitter.
I'm messing up. Bryce, you're looking so mad over
but
there.
Yeah, I want to do more podcast stuff, man.
Looking so mad over there.
I want to do more podcasts, man. Yeah, we were supposed to get Dumbfounded this week as well. Just didn't work out with the scheduling, but
yeah, you'll get on there.
We're going to make it happen. Yeah, we're going to do his. He's going to do mine. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to do all that. I want to get into a lot more TV stuff too, man.
Yeah,
That's something I've always been into, like wanting to be an actor and stuff like that.
Yeah, have you thought about writing your own stuff as well?
Yeah, I have thought about that, man.
Yeah, like maybe even ghostwriting.
Yeah,
stuff
I think in the age of like Netflix, when everybody's looking for content right now, like. You can, it's really not hard to pitch something. I think you just need a cool idea. If you can make a cool idea, you know, the people are there to pitch it to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You just got to make the cool idea first, you know, most importantly.
So is that you're like, that would be an awesome goal to get something on Netflix or Hulu?
Yeah,
I
want to do more TV stuff, man. Yeah. Like this Drop the Mic thing is just me like barely having my little pinky toe like in the door and like wedging the door open. You know what I mean? Like this is my first TV anything.
Right. So. Why don't you and the guys, you know, like the OG, like you and Thesaur, like why don't you guys just write your own? Because you guys are like the veterans anyway.
Yeah.
Why don't you just write your own?
We may have to do something like that.
You know what I'm saying?
That.
Like there's a lot of reality based shows.
Is. There
stuff.
Is.
And
I've almost
you know
been on
everybody,
some. Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I've almost been on a reality show for battle rap a long time ago.
Yeah.
They had one on MTV, True Life, I'm a Battle Rapper.
Right.
A long time ago.
So who are you? Do you still watch that stuff?
Oh, yeah, of course, man.
Like, who are some of your top three dudes?
My favorite battle rappers is, like, Disaster, Hollow, Pass, Thesaurus, you know what I mean? Those are Immaculate.
Well, Big K, no.
Big K, oh, yeah. He, like, as far as, like, the new people in the last, like, handful
yeah,
of years,
of his, yeah.
like, he's one of the best
he's
out
really
of
good.
The new
he's
guys.
Really good.
Big K is incredible.
From Virginia?
Yeah, he's a very nice guy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
he's a good
yeah,
guy.
Because yeah. I've seen you at some of his battles. Like, you're, like, there.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like, oh,
yeah.
he's right there.
Yeah, yeah. Nah.
yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the thing about Big K, dude, is when he first came on the scene, he used to get a lot of shit because everyone would say that he looked like me.
I didn't want to see. Yeah, he.
You
he,
didn't want to
yeah,
say.
Yeah,
right?
I didn't want to say anything, but you were before him.
Yeah, yeah. So he told me when I first met him, he's like, people will give me shit all the time,
he's
or they'll
a lot,
be like,
bigger,
or they'll be like, you got to battle awkwards because you look like him. Like, that's stupid.
What was it like when you first met? He was nice and everything.
Oh, he's so cool. He's so nice.
Yeah.
Always kept it solid with me
yeah.
every interaction we've ever had.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, he's a
yeah.
nice guy.
I'm a big fan
nice
of
guy.
That man.
Me too, man. He makes
yeah.
great music
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
He's really good.
I need
good.
To check his music out. Yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah,
he's on Non-Perishables 4. Matter of fact.
Oh, he is?
The record that we dropped
yeah.
in December. He's on. He's got two verses
yeah,
on there.
Yeah, it's good
he
to see
is,
him doing
yeah.
his thing, man.
He is really
yeah,
good,
yeah.
man. He's really good.
All right, how we doing on time, man? Because we still got stuff to open up. We got like. So.
Oh yeah, let's do.
Okay, what was that? You want to do a sponsorship thing? Are we good?
I got one question. How do you prepare for a rap battle? Both like, what's your writing process?
Yeah. Good question.
Well, you know, because a lot of the times you get like about a month. So sometimes more, sometimes a little less, sometimes 3 weeks. Sometimes you take some last minute 1 week shit. It's really like, man, I smoke a lot of weed mm-hmm. and I just pace around and try to think of the most terrible thoughts that I could think of about this person, you know? Like everything, it helps if you battle someone that you hate. Because you're just like, you'd be like, oh, I hate when you do that fucking thing right there. You know what I mean? And you can just think of funny ways to put that can relate to the crowd. As far as the mental process, man, you got to be confident. If there's any doubt in your mind, like, it's going to fuck you up. You know?
Yeah. How do you, it's easier said and done, but how does that translate over as far as your, the way you, yeah.
Nah, I just kind of like, yeah, memorize. I go over it like a million times to in terms of.
Have you ever forgot?
Yes.
So what do you do when you forget?
War, you die. That's what you do. It's the worst possible scenario other than getting punched in the battle.
Okay, so.
So worst
it's round
case.
Two and you forgot and then it's your
it's
turn.
Terrible.
Like, what do you do?
You just, I mean, I'll tell you what I did. When it happened to me, I lost, like, the main battle that I ever lost ever. In the third round, I forgot my shit. And it's just
you completely blanked out.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Oh my
it's like
God.
As someone who battles, that's like the most terrifying scenario. I'd rather someone punch me in the middle of the battle than me forget my shit and look like an idiot. You know, sometimes you'll try to like spit out a little freestyle
yeah,
to recover. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Because yeah.
I can freestyle very good, but yeah. it's like when you're so focused on trying to remember the shit that you wrote. Sometimes being able to freestyle is not easy at the same time while trying to do
no.
that. You know what I
yeah.
mean? And it comes out kind of half-assed.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
you have to make a choice. It's like, am I remembering this written shit or are we losing that and freestyling? You make the choice right now.
So how'd you
do you know
like
what I mean?
That?
Like, I just lost, man. I lost the fucking battle, man. I had to take that L.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, what are some of
you know, there could be a lot of factors, man. You know, it was like fucking 3 o'clock in the morning, jet lag, all kind of thing. I'm not going to make no excuses, though. I lost. But, you know, there's a lot of factors can go into it. You know, maybe you added a new line earlier that day or something because you thought something funny, you know, and you said it and it fucked you up. Or sometimes, you know, you could say a line that in your head, you imagined everybody going crazy when you say this line. But you say this line and nobody does shit.
Oh, because
that
have
can throw you
oh.
off, or even the exact opposite—a line that you just wrote for you because you thought it was like a cool line, but not like the crazy haymaker. But then you said that, and the whole room just fucking went nuts.
So you can't gauge.
You know what
it.
I mean? Like sometimes, like I've had a pretty good, you know, perception of what was gonna work and not. But every once in a while, some of those will throw you off, man.
Wow,
some
dude.
Shit you didn't expect. I was like, damn, y'all went crazy for that.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
that was just some shit I wrote for me personally.
So how would you relate? What's the closest? Would it be like watching a play and a person forgetting their?
Yeah,
it's like,
yo, it's,
like in front of a packed guy.
It's terrifying.
They're supposed to sing
bro.
Like their last operatic.
It's terrifying.
Because the way I watch you guys. It's kind of like theater.
It is very much
and
so.
Operatic. It's like you have to really sell what you're saying.
Nah, that's all. That's exactly what it is. If you don't look confident saying your shit, everyone's gonna know. The fans No.
Similar
There's
to
no bullshit.
Similar to a comedian, if they're not good with their joke.
I've been told that it's very similar in a lot
comedy.
Of ways. Yeah. Because if think about it, we're remembering a bunch of material.
Mm-hmm, like stand-up
I'm
comics.
Trying to make you react in every line. It's very similar.
To stand-up comedy.
It's very similar.
Wow,
in a lot of ways.
That's interesting, man.
People have told me to try it. I'm like, I don't know.
You
I wouldn't consider myself a funny person to like where, oh, I'm so funny, I can do stand-up. Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't think of myself like mm-hmm. that.
Do you have interest in that at all?
It seems interesting, but I don't know that I could ever do it. If I did, I wouldn't tell anybody. I would just go to some small ass place, try it one time, and just see
like
what
a
happens.
Coffee shop.
Yeah, I wouldn't tell nobody.
Yeah.
I'll just tell my girl, oh, I'm about to go get some lunch. I'll be right back. And then just go try stand up and fail.
You should at least try it.
I'm into trying just random new stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I gave it a shot a few times.
Yeah, how'd it go?
I was okay. I did a couple open mics. I failed. I really dropped the ball on a big one.
No laughs? You didn't get a laugh?
I bombed horribly. I opened up for my brother in Tempe at the Tempe Improv.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it was packed.
There you go.
Packed.
Hey, I met your brother a few months back.
Yeah, oh, at the store, right?
I went to the comedy store. And we were watching the show, and he did his set and whatnot. And my girl got up to go to the bathroom, and she comes back. Just hella smiling, like, she's like, Bobby Lee's out there. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, is he still out there? And I walk out there, and I just met him real quick. We took the most blurry, terrible picture on planet Earth.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And we kind of had a funny reaction. It was interesting. He like put his hand like right here on me and like pulled me down a little bit. And I was looking at him, and then he looked at me, and he was like, you're very strong. And that was like our whole interaction. Yeah. I was like, oh, well, hey, I try.
Hey, shout out to your girl, man.
Shout out, Rod.
She's the reason why, like,
this whole thing was arranged.
Tell him how, like, I even got in contact with you.
Okay, so listen. My girlfriend, Rada, she watches this show and Tiger Belly and all that religiously every single day. Like, when she wakes up before we go to bed, which means I watch it every day. And at nighttime, one day I'm taking a shower and my girl runs into the bathroom, says, oh, my God, babe, I don't get mad. I sent Stevie Weeby a DM on Instagram saying you should get awkwards on your podcast sometime.
Oh, yeah. I knew who you were.
And then
she was like,
and
like, oh,
he actually
like
responded saying that he liked your battles.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. Dude, well, let
I've
me hit this fool up.
I've been watching you for
man.
Years. Yeah.
I appreciate you, man. So that's how it all came together,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
It's pretty funny. Pretty
Instagram
random.
Instagram does
so
work.
So thank you, man.
Instagram does work.
Apparently it does.
I checked my
I was surprised you responded. Did You gotta fuck with Twitter,
man.
Bro.
I know, dude. Jeez. Let's keep it positive.
Before we leave.
Let's keep it positive.
Then find your password to your original Twitter.
Yeah, before we leave, I'm gonna take a picture with you. I'm gonna tag you on Twitter. You're gonna have a Twitter by then.
Okay, dude. Thanks for
I wanted to ask you a question, actually.
Go ahead,
something kind of random.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen that documentary, The King of Kong? Have you ever heard of that?
Oh, Stevie Weeby.
Yeah. I just wanted to know if anybody ever like got you confused by Steve Weeby, because that's the main
Steve
character.
Weeby. No. I actually own that documentary, but it was like, you know.
Has anyone ever like got you guys confused?
Oh, yeah. No,
I was confused before I saw you.
No,
but
I'm
I just
fan.
Heard the name.
Dude, I'm a fan of that documentary,
that
but it was like, this was separate. Like, I didn't like. Straight take it from the documentary.
Oh, no, I'm not even saying that.
It was through my band, because my brother would call me that, you know, he'd always call me Steve Weeby. I'm like, and then one day at band practice, they're like, because my normal MC name was Kwong U, so no one could pronounce it. Like, what is that, a Chinese city, you know? No one could, like, find me or, like, even support my music. So they're like, Money Mark was like, you should just change it to Stevie Weeby.
It's fine.
And I go,
okay.
Okay. So but I do give him props.
No, when I first heard that, it's Steve Weeby.
Steve Weeby.
Yeah, when I first heard of that name, I was like, I was like, wait, the King
of
Kong got a podcast?
Like, no, there's no disrespect. It's like separate from the Donkey Kong guy.
I just thought of that randomly.
I'm not the Donkey Kong guy, but
hey, well, we fuck with you though.
Yeah, we mess with you big time. And I know that you're the real champ in Donkey Kong.
He is.
And Donkey
fuck
Kong
Billy
Jr.
Mitchell's cheating ass.
Yeah. the guy with the rocker looking
the
guy.
Mullet.
Yeah. Okay, so this is hey dude, thanks for coming.
Oh man, I appreciate
you. Hey man, I'd like to do
me,
yours if
of
I'm
course,
gonna, yeah, I would love that.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And if I can meet one Diaz, I just want to shake a Diaz brother's hand. I mean, I wouldn't even want
to. You wanted to come out to Stockton. Man.
I would just be like, dude, I'm
you
a
know,
fan.
But though I know Nick has been spending a lot of time in LA though.
I saw Nick.
Yeah.
I saw Nick.
He might be lightweight living out here. Yeah.
I saw him. He walked
by.
He
might be lightweight living out here.
Near Jimmy Kimmel, he walked by, guys. Yeah. And it was one of those outer body experiences where I'll get to my other story where Ali Shaheed Muhammad walked by me from Tribe. I didn't mess up there. I let literally 1-2 seconds and I grabbed him. I go, hey, dude, are you the dude I think you are? And right, babe? And I got the picture. But when Nick Diaz walked by me, he was shadow boxing, actually.
Yeah, probably.
And
walking
it was
around
like
with
something
nunchucks
out
of
a dream. And he walked by and I went, and it hit me in my mind. I go, dude, that was Nick Diaz, bro. That was Nick Diaz. That was Nick Diaz. It kept repeating, that was Nick Diaz.
Dude,
are you going to go up to him?
Yeah, he was in Vegas for
a long
time.
And it was too
time.
Late. He was already at he crossed the street.
Yeah, you don't make him mad.
Yeah, yeah. So I messed up. I was too shook.
Sometimes it happens, dude. I get shook sometimes, man. I've met a lot of famous people. Sometimes people shake you, man. I got shook when I met Big Daddy Kane. I was shook.
Oh, you met Big Daddy Kane.
I was
Kane.
Shook. Because this motherfucker was wearing,
I mean,
like, all, like, silk pajamas with a toothpick in his mouth. Like, what the fuck am I supposed
to
say?
Dude, tell him what's up with Big Daddy Kane, man. That guy,
one
he's,
one of
the
greatest
like the
lyricists
on,
of all time, man. If you're into, like, lyrics and rhyming good. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Malfunction.
But I caught it, huh?
Hey, very good reflexes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
you're like
thank
a
you.
Mongoose.
You saw that? I was like, boom.
Yeah, that was very good.
Yeah.
Because if you were depending on me to do that...
Oh,
would have
no,
been a wrap.
That. Man, this was fun. How we doing on time, man? This was a fun one. Yes, we're good on time. This is the part where I want you to just blast and promote your social, your projects, your music, everything you're working on right now. Go ahead.
Let me do this Ace Ventura style. Now, you know, we got the album coming soon, but probably the newest music stuff is going to be the Method Man video. We're going to probably drop that in the next few months. We're going
to
film
Shout out to Wu-Tang.
Definitely. The next time he's out here, we're going to be filming that thing. It's going to be ridiculous. Drop the Mic Season 2 B. It's the second half. They extended the season. That's what we worked on this week. Mm-hmm. It's going to, I don't know the air date, but before the end of the year, those will be out. Season 3 is probably coming out soon. Fuck, man. Lots of music. You can check me on K-Win. We got the podcast. You can go to youtube.com/awkwards.
Yeah,
like- youtube.com/awkwards. Or also, you know, any of that Spotify, iTunes. Yep. OKWERDZ. That's a terrible make up your name when you're 17 years old and get stuck with these shit.
OKWERDZ.
Yes, sir.
Outside the Box Podcast. Yep. Do you have a... account for Instagram on the podcast?
You could just awkwards 209. Basically all my social media is going to be awkwards or awkwards 209, man. You know, I think Twitter and YouTube is just awkwards, and then from that point people will start stealing my name, so I had to put the 209.
Okay,
that's where you're gonna find all that. We just got tons of shit coming out, man.
You say your Bandcamp already?
Yeah awkwards.bandcamp. We were just in a book, battlerapbook.com.
What's up with the book?
This kid hit me up like 5 years ago, said he's writing a book on battle rap, and we lightweight didn't believe him, but I just talked to him for like, you know, 3 hours and just gave him all this old school information and linked him up with other people to talk to. And this dude really wrote a book and published it. And it might be the best like history of battle rap ever like documented, to where
it goes to the progression. And
Yeah. Like the as far back as you could think of a fucking rap battle, like, and it's got, you know, and it's got like stories from the dude that was there. You know what I mean? Like all like 150 battle rappers gave their stories of just, you know, and it's all put together in this crazy timeline. You could get it at battlerapbook.com or on Amazon. You can search for it.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah, a lot. Damn, it's just books, crazy to podcast. It's crazy to be recognized in that way. We've had people do documentaries on us. It's a surreal feeling, man. I appreciate it, really.
That's crazy.
It's called Bars, the Evolution of Modern Battle Rap, I believe. But just battlerapbook.com, it'll have all
and
that.
And they could buy it directly from the...
You could buy it directly from the author, or you could do Amazon if that's your thing, however
and
you...
And then you said your Instagram already, Awkwards.
Yep, Awkwards209, Awkwards on Twitter, Facebook, Awkwards209, all that shit,
What about the Method Man song? When can they hear that?
Yeah, probably the next few months, man. Like, it's done and good.
I just feel like I want to put it out with the video. So we're going to chill and get the video done and then put that out after that.
I
want to start my game stream back up too, man.
Oh,
so
that's what's up. You on Twitch?
I was on Twitch. We were going to do some big battle rap stuff on the front page.
Twitch?
But then our hookups over there, like the people we knew, they ended up leaving Twitch and working somewhere else. Yeah. So it kind of fell through.
What is that all about? My girl's struggling right now. That was like the, I'm hungry. Wrap it up.
Shit, I'm hungry too.
She's like, yeah, I do. I read through it. She went. She's drawing.
What is she drawing?
I don't know. Maybe awkward to me. I don't know.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
No, she's been drawing naked people this whole time.
Nice. Well done.
All right, we got to do a couple shout outs here, dude. Thanks for coming through, brother.
Course,
I appreciate it, man.
I appreciate
Much
you,
love
bro.
For all your future endeavors, man.
Hey, appreciate
big fan,
you, man.
Big fan.
Thank you. Same here, man. Same
a
here.
Shout out to the our new Patreons, Nathaniel 916.
I got to give me one of those, man.
Yeah, you should.
I do.
Yeah, Nathaniel. Well,
man, Nathaniel been doing this.
Yeah, Nathaniel, he's been doing it. Nah, he's been doing it.
Thank you.
No,
thank
I got
you,
a lot
Nathaniel.
Of Nathaniel shout outs. William Galindo and Christopher Lee. Shout out to the people who bought my music. Tyreek Gibson, he bought all 12 albums.
You say Tyreese Gibson?
Tyreek.
Oh, yeah. I was like, no, what? No. Like, wait a
he
minute.
He don't know about me. He don't know about my little 4-track music. Yeah, so I really enjoy it when you guys do that.
Hell yeah.
All 12.
Get that bundle. Get that bundle.
Get the bundle.
Get that bundle.
All 12 albums. Shout out to Jeffrey Shepard. Bought 3 albums. Nathaniel Odom again. Bought 3 albums.
Nathaniel.
Yeah. Nick Murphy. Bought a song. Even if it's a song. I like that. Just check it out. You can get all my music at... You could become a patron at patreon.com/stevieweeby. I'm doing a new thing on Mondays, guys. It's a audio diary log. So I 15 to 20 minutes. I review UFC 229.
Oh, nice.
My thoughts on my album. So that's every Monday. I'm dropping that, guys, just for my Patreons.
Dope.
That's something new.
It wasn't even available before. Huh?
Yeah, it wasn't available before.
Wow,
Stevie.
Patreon.com/StevieWeeby.
Okay.
Cool.
All double E's.
Support that.
Okay. The music's at StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. If you want to follow the show, it's at Instagram.com/QUANGOU. If you want to send stuff, we have a P.O. box. We have stuff we're going to open in a few minutes. Go send stuff to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093.
Hey.
Check out my man. Oh, and shout out to Joseph Ong for that PayPal love that you sent. And shout out to Nathaniel again. Check out his Instagram, Losco Projects. LOSKOPROJECTSWWW.LOSCOPROJECTS.com. You got to give Nathaniel a shout out. He's made stickers for saying, dude? That's a homie, dude. That's
I already fuck with him and I've never
Oh,
even
you know
met
Nathaniel?
Him. No, I don't. But
okay.
I just fuck with him automatically.
You should mess
now.
With him. He's up in Sacramento. He's close enough to
you.
Yeah. He's got
far.
His own podcast.
That ain't far.
Yeah, I'll link you up with him. Can you, so these are some of the things we didn't get to. Open up at these are fans who sent. I have to guess what's in here. I think maybe it's a CD for this
Let
one.
Me see.
Who it is? It's K. Well, actually,
maybe
who,
some type of clothing.
Actually, who is it first? It's
to whom
XD. Making? It's XD from Hayward, California.
Oh, from the Bay. Seems like maybe some type of clothing in here.
Okay,
yeah.
So
what do we got?
Mm-hmm. Oh wow, look at that, huh?
All right, we got a shirt here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a fucking dinosaur, man.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
Fucking dinosaur.
Oh,
man.
I like that.
Let's go.
Paranoid.
It looks like some kind of like.
Wow, this is cool. Yeah, I will.
Do that.
Wow, look at this, huh?
The best gifts are the ones you use right away, man. You got some stickers. It looks like some kind of booklet. What is this all about? With the Grim Reaper and shit. Damn.
A little zine, okay.
All right.
This is cool. What's his name? So shout out to XD. And let me font stupid paranoid lame old F-U-C-K-S.
That's a great name.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, let's go to the next one. This.
All right, what do you think that is, Steve?
I think it's another shirt.
Oh,
there you go. You got to put it on top of that one.
Yeah,
next.
I will. So this is from Threadless Artist Shop. So it's.
Yo, that's how I used to like. That's how I used to smuggle merch into other countries. I would just go through security wearing hella shirts.
That one looks cool too. Wow, look at that, huh?
All right.
Whoa. Oh, nice. Psychedelic. What is that? Wow. Okay. All right. Thank you. Shout out to Times. Threadless. Threadless Artist Shop, Chicago, Illinois. So shout out to Chicago.
There it is. Hey, Chi-Town,
okay,
man.
Put it on again.
Yeah, put that shit on.
Next one here.
I wonder what.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a CD.
I don't know. It might be
a laser disc, perhaps.
Some baseball cards. Some baseball cards on that one. Wait, I got scissors on that.
Hey, man, I'm from Stockton. I got a knife, man.
Oh, damn.
Wow. Don't be alarmed.
Oh, my God. He's got a Rambo knife.
That's a knife.
He's got a Rambo knife. Wow.
Probably not.
Dang.
Probably not, but they never searched me here.
Yeah.
That's a knife.
Where could I get a knife like that? That's crazy.
Gerber, man.
Okay.
That's some Walking Dead shit.
Yeah, that's yeah. Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, look at that. Yeah, I thought it was going to be a record, but... This looks like hold on, what the hell?
Yeah, cause
oh
me.
Whoa,
yeah.
What is that? Kim Gray.
Oh, stickers.
Wow, Kim. Look at this.
Oh, we got a note.
Okay.
You got a note. You got to read that.
Okay.
Man.
It says right here, Kim Gray, Instagram Kim Gray Music. Love the show. We thought you might enjoy this. Cheers, Bad Diet Records. Wow, look at this. Look at that, dude. This is cool. This is like packaged nice, man.
Yeah, very good.
Look at this, dude.
Wait, is it an album?
Yeah, it's an album, dude. It's a record. Kim Gray Compulsion.
Vinyl is still awesome, man.
Look at that. Thank you, Kim Gray. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah,
I'll definitely check that out. And then one last one. You got that Rambo knife again? Right there. Okay, this is the last one. And then we'll wrap up here. Wow. Now, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Posters, maybe?
Yeah, you gotta guess something.
Posters?
Oh,
I didn't look. No, I did. No, I look real good. No, I'm looking over.
Final answer, posters?
Yeah, posters. Okay.
I don't know,
what is that?
Ho, ho!
Oh, wow.
Dang.
What the hell? Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, man.
Babe.
Someone really sent you that?
Babe, we got a freshwater bidet. Green Company. We don't have to use toilet. Dude, this squirts in your butt.
Wow.
Dude, no.
It's got a dial for like an intensity that goes up your ass.
I love this. Wait, hold up. I got to read this.
You better put that shit on medium, man.
Oh, God. I got a Green Company. Oh,
it's French, man. A bidet.
A bidet. I said a bidet. It's a bidet. See, you know I've never been to France. You know I've never
right
been to
there,
France.
Man. That's crazy.
So this kid replaced my baby wipes that I wipe my butt when I
there
poo.
You go.
This straight
you
will
better,
squirt
you better
up
start
your...
that on low at first.
Have you used one of these?
No, I never have.
How do we shout this person out? This is amazing.
Who is there a name?
God, this
Hi,
is...
Stevie Weeby, enjoy the cleanliness, lol, from a friend, Elway B.
Elway B. Shout out to Elway B.
Very concerned about
you,
man.
Babe,
you
happy?
That's a fire gift. I got to step my podcast up. Fuck.
You got to set up a P.O. box. P.O. box, baby.
Someone send me a bidet, man.
With that being said, it's time for Lil Ray's World. Thanks, bro.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Peace.
Damn.
What you talking about, fool? Click. Click.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens and dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. my name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, my name is Little Ray. Hey, 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 so welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls,
welcome to Little Ray's world. Yeehaw! We got here looks like a goddamn street vandal graffiti writer. What's up, man? What you doing out here?
What's up, fool? I ride R&L, fool.
You ride what?
I'm a rider, fool.
You're a rider? What the hell does that mean? How the hell did you end up here, and how'd you die on Earth?
Well, I was running from the cops yesterday, and I swallowed a bunch of caps from a spray can and filled with paint, and I got poisoned, fool.
You got poisoned swallowing a bunch of spray can caps, and you try to hide behind a dumpster and you died?
Yeah, fool. I write R&L. All
right, well, your name is Randall, and we wrote a song. It goes like this, man.
This one's about Randall the Street Mandel, man.
Randall the Vandal, man. Woo!
Here's an example of a damn vandal. His name is Randall, way too hard to handle. I found a little sample of a grog squeezer, marker that was hidden from cops, you thrill seeker. Why'd you have to tag up a new trash can? Did you swallow up Montana cans? We need a CAT scan to see how many cobra yellow fat caps you had, swirling that they plummet in your stomach. Did you love it? Caps from a can attack had gassed up this man. Upon the tips that poison him to this land, so please welcome Randall the Street Vandal died. Swallowing supplies for graffiti, never cried late. Out by the side of a dumpster with the name, he wrote R&L, me and Beep are glad you came. But keep it clean now, keep it clean now, keep it clean now, keep it clean now, oh Randall. The Vandal.
Join us in 2 weeks for another episode of Little Ray's World, man.
And get your cliff notes there. We got a lot of battle rap to catch up on.